An artist's duty, as far as I'm concerned, is to reflect the times. I think that is true of our painters, sculptors, poets, musicians. It's as far as I'm concerned, it's their choice. But I choose to reflect.
Hello!
What's up?
It's been so long.
It's been a hard minute.
A hard minute. Hard
intense minute.
One hot, hard
minute. Long minute. Hard and hot and long.
Hot, hard, and long.
Molly, how have you been doing on that minute? How's life been treating you on this long, hard, hot minute?
You know, so much has happened. I'm grateful to be here.
I know. Thank you for the opportunity to live.
Well, thanks for letting me live. How are you?
Doing okay. Yeah.
We're out here making it.
We're out here just doing our very darndest.
We're holding out for that $2,000 stimmy.
Right? We'll see. Where's the stimmy at?
Where my stimmy?
Seriously, though. Yeah. So tell me about what it's been like in your brain during the break.
Foggy.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. Foggy like a cold, crisp morning when you're, like, getting in your car and you're driving somewhere that you don't want to be.
Yes, that kind of foggy.
Yeah.
See, I would describe my foggy as, like, you've just done your hair and your makeup and you're looking pretty great. And mm-hmm. then you go into the bathroom that someone else has been showering a hot shower in, and you feel that hot, thick fog,
uh-huh.
and you're just like, I'm sweating, everything's melting.
Yep, I know the one.
That one. Yeah, so I would say those are both pretty descriptive and pretty unfortunate fogs.
But you know what? We're here. We're queer.
We are.
I hold you dear.
Oh, I was not expecting that. That made me so happy. Okay, keep going.
Keep it going. I'm actually, like, out of ideas now. Now that I'm
full of fear.
I'm full of fear, and sometimes I drink a beer. But yeah. Usually only one, because at this point my alcohol consumption has been so limited that one beer puts me to sleep.
Yes. I don't...
And that rhymes.
It does rhyme. And also, I feel like collectively everyone I talk to, alcohol just makes them sleepy now. Nothing fun happens with alcohol anymore.
Right. It's like our tolerance has shifted in a really weird way. Like,
yeah.
I could not picture myself, like, going out to a bar and shutting it down like I used to, you know?
Exactly.
No way.
I want to go to bed. I can go, like, pre-COVID, I could go to a speakeasy, get one drink, and then be like, all right, I'm ready to go back home and get my jam.
I'm sleepy.
I'm a little sleepy bear. But, yeah, so clearly we're, like, super cool and, like, awesome, like dope hot
so
bitches.
So freaking fun. Which, I mean, like, the whole, like, I think my perspective on a lot of things has shifted, such as, like, the whole, like, you know, the cool aunt of it all. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, your cool, fun, drunk aunt. Like, that's not cute to me anymore. Like, it's actually just more kind of sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, if you're alone and you're the drunkest one at the party, it's like, okay. We've all been there.
We've all been that aunt. And you know what? Cheers to growth.
I agree. And new year, all about that growth. Oh my gosh.
About that growth.
It's Yeah, the avoiding the new year, new me, new year. So I have to kill myself with all the productivity I'm doing. Like,
Right.
it's
So to
like.
that point, like no rev I almost said revolutions. No no resolutions.
No, I think my resolution, if I made one, would be to honor my mental health and my needs more.
That's good.
And I think that's a positive one. That's
Yeah.
not like, you're shitty and stupid, and now you
Yeah,
gotta do
like you're a
better, you know?
failure and you have to start over and whatever. No, that's
Yeah.
good. I like the vague kind of open-ended ones that are just like,
Yes.
yeah, like the ones that I have are like be gentler with yourself and
Oh.
like make good on commitments, like, and that means commitments to yourself and to other people, even when it doesn't feel good, and try your best to implement routine, not because of like a strict anything, but because it makes you feel better, and you felt the evidence of that in like the beginnings of getting into routine and stuff. Does that make sense?
Oh, fuck yeah, Molly, that's amazing. You just like those are all so good. I love that. And I honestly I think I'm gonna copy some of those
Do it.
because you know, you're so right. Like there are some things that fall into the cracks when it comes to quote self-care. And I think sometimes being like a little bit real with yourself and being like, this is what I need, and it doesn't necessarily look fun, and it's not something that anyone can package and sell to me. But it's just like me holding myself accountable. Like those, I think that's an
Exactly.
amazing, and that is a true sign of growth. And the fact that you want that for yourself is so amazing, I think, and you deserve the peace that that brings.
As do you. As do
Yas,
we all.
girl.
As do we all. That is my quote unquote prayer for all of us, is that we all can just be a little bit easier with
Yeah.
ourselves, and with that comes more happiness. And if you're gentler with yourself, you're more likely to make better choices the next time or whatever. Like, and also like the whole like black and white good and bad choices of it all is toxic, and it's capitalism.
Right. Exactly.
But
And like
that's like a whole other, I could do a whole podcast about
no, but seriously, and approaching things with curiosity instead of just like jolting yourself into a shame spiral, instead of doing that, just being like, why did I do that? And oh, that's interesting. And like almost like treating yourself as if you were talking to a friend or a therapist, talking to yourself as
Or,
if you were someone you love.
talking to yourself as your inner child. And
Yes, we love that.
we love that. And also like applying that to like creative things, like such as like writing. I feel like the biggest thing that gives me writer's block is like, this is a stupid idea, and like where am I taking this part of it? Why am I doing that? What's the whole point? And like, this isn't good enough yet, whatever. That is like so self-limiting, and like giving yourself the freedom to be bad ends up making a better product in the end,
Yeah, I completely agree. That's such a beautiful way of looking at it because like when you're a kid, you just pound out picture books. Like you just write stories and draw things and share it with friends and share it with your siblings, and there's like no shame or worrying or guilt or imposter syndrome or frustration. And it's like that is such I love that you said that. That is a really important reminder for the creative aspects of yourself because, yeah, that's super useful. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. I recently learned that Pixar calls their unfinished movies ugly babies.
Oh.
And that is so like they don't, judge it too harshly before it's completed. It's an ugly baby until it's finished. Like,
yeah,
I like hilarious. I really like that. I think I'm gonna steal that probably.
I love it. Oh, she's fine. She's just an ugly
baby.
She's
an ugly
baby. She'll get
there. She'll grow out of it. You know? Like,
that's amazing. I love that. That feels very Seinfeld to Elaine from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
It's like, she's just an ugly baby. Anyway. No. But yeah, I think the world's been a really wild, somewhat painful, heavy place to live right now, and I have found solace in movies, and I feel like you have done the same.
Yeah. So, what have you been watching?
So recently? I find I've been on a really strange horror kick. Like, the need to watch horror has been intense, and I don't understand it. And I think maybe it's because I horror just creates this environment that's so abnormal to everyday life that I feel like it's I'm drawn to it because it's so outside of my experience currently that it feels like a safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds weird because it's like I'm trying to scare myself but I feel safe. But I love it, and I love, you know, the visual and practical effects that come with horror. I think that's shit's so fun and exciting, and that's something I do want to actually challenge myself to learn and get into this year, too, is practical effects. I think that's fun. But I watched this movie called Amulet, and it's on Hulu.
Okay.
It's made by... let me bring it on up. It's made by the actress. Come on, not no. There we go. Romola Garai. She's a famous British actress or English actress, and she
comes from British.
She comes from British, and she wrote the movie and directed it. One of the most haunting scores I've ever experienced in a film.
Ooh, okay.
It's like one of those where it becomes like an earwig and you can't stop hearing it, and you start to like freak yourself out because you're hearing it in your room. But it's about a former soldier who is now homeless. And you can tell that there has been some trauma in his past, but you don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets the homeless shelter that he's kind of taking haven in is it burns down, and this nun finds him, played by the amazing Imelda Staunton? Imelda
Staunton? Oh, Amanda Staunton?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Very cool. But she plays the nun, and she's like, hey, I will help you. I see good in you. So fucking come to this creepy old house with this young girl and her, she refers to her as her invalid mother. The house is falling apart. The girl is taking on too much. You need to help out, and you'll get food and shelter in return. And so that's kind of like the basic premise. And you obviously find out that there's more to it, and the mother upstairs isn't what she seems, and yada, 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 and all this stuff. And I will say that there are aspects of the plot line that get a little convoluted, but in the end, it is an incredible movie, I thought, with really great score and soundtrack. There's some other great music in there as well. And I really liked that there's kind of a little bit of a revenge aspect to it, too.
Okay.
And this movie doesn't sound super feminist because it's coming from a soldier standpoint, but stick with it.
Okay.
Watch it all the way through, and you'll understand why it's kind of a badass feminist film. And sure, like, it's not a perfect film, but it was really entertaining, and I really enjoyed it. And yeah, I thought it was very original storytelling. But yeah, there are some hard things in it, so just audience members, be wary. There's some topics that come up that are difficult, like assault and things of that nature. So yeah.
Sounds really interesting though.
Yeah, it was an entertaining movie for sure, and I really enjoyed that.
Very nice.
Yeah. How about you, Molly?
I been watching a lot of like old episodes of SNL.
Nice.
As you do. And I'm trying to, I honestly cannot remember off the top of my head, so I've, like, got my Netflix, like, recently watched pulled up.
Yeah.
Lots of Billy on the Street. Okay, yeah, that tracks. Mm-hmm.
Love Billy.
And, let's see, I rewatched The Florida Project. I've been watching a lot of Kim's Convenience and rewatched She's Gotta Have It. I love that movie.
How would you say that compares to the show? Because I haven't seen the movie, but I started the show.
But you've seen the show? Okay.
I had trouble sticking with the show, personally.
The show is kind of a little bit, like, longer, more drawn out. I would put the movie in, like, my top 10.
Like, oh, excellent. Okay.
It's an all-timer for me. I'm pretty sure that was Spike Lee's first feature.
Was it that, or was it... I think you might be right, actually. I can't remember. I know it was... pretty sure it was that one, yeah. I think you're right.
First movie... Googling it live. Yeah, it is. She's Gotta Have It.
Nice.
And well, I just love like the whole like DIY of it all. Mm-hmm. Because like it, yeah. First of all, like it looks so good, and but like just knowing that, like, you know, he's directing, he's acting in it, you know. Mm-hmm. he's like literally like on the ground, like doing what I'm doing now, like, yeah, you know, like wearing so many hats just to like get the fucking thing made. I think it's, like, I mean, even though it's, like, written by a male, it captures the female gaze. Like, it's a,
yeah,
it's a objective, like, look at this female character. Mm-hmm. And, she is the hero of her own story, and, like, it's really liberating and beautiful and just so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, okay. I definitely am gonna have to watch it, 'cause that's...
We should talk about it on here.
We should. And I'm honestly a little disappointed in myself because I've seen so many Spike Lee films, and I did start the show, and I can't believe I still haven't watched the actual feature.
Yeah.
Just one of those things, like, you have these grandiose list of, like, the movies, like, these are the movies I have to watch because cinema.
Yeah.
And I... That's one of them, and that's just the one of the ones that I still have yet to fucking cross.
So off. Good. The music is really great. It's got, uh-huh, like this one song that's like kind of a recurring, like, theme,
mm-hmm,
like score type thing. It's really good. It's just really good. We should talk about it.
I love it. Okay. Let's see. That would be a goal.
What else have I been watching? Anything interesting? I rewatched Easy A. Been watching Kim's Convenience. Mm-hmm. Did I say that? I probably said that already, actually.
It's been so long since I've seen Easy A. Does it hold up still?
There are a couple parts of it that are like, ooh, a little cringe. But it's still so fucking funny.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. the like, I gotta. That still, like, gets me every time.
Iconic.
Truly, absolutely iconic. Oh, I watched the Sex and the City movie.
I love how you said that, and then you're like,
yeah. And that's all I got to say on that. And yeah. I watched the... Have you seen the net... It's, like, brand spanking new. The documentary series with Fran Lebowitz.
No! Oh, my God. I'm so pumped about it, though.
It's so good. It's so good.
Okay, say more about that.
Okay, pretend it's a city. It's just a Fran Lebowitz in conversation with Marty Scorsese, because they're buddies, evidently. Yeah. And we love that.
Adorable. They're so short together.
Literally, like, I would say a good 70% of this whole thing is just Fran says one sentence, and, you know, then it's just Marty just, just, like, erupting in laughter. Like, he's just fucking cackling at everything that she says, and I love it.
And she is one of the most brilliant minds. I love
her. What a career.
Uh-huh.
Too.
Seriously.
Like, and also, one really great direct quote from the series. This doesn't spoil anything. I mean, it's a documentary. Like, it's true. It's happened.
We should know it by now.
We should know. She says, you know, I spent all this time, like, working these jobs. I would never work on Wednesdays because I would, you know, try and look in the papers. That's when the paper came out. And look for a job opening for a job that I wouldn't hate. Turns out, there isn't a job that I wouldn't hate. I just don't like working. Iconic.
Yeah. But seriously, that's when you ask, like, okay, Fran, that may be so, but how'd you do it?
Right, because her career is truly, like, she wrote, like, social studies and metropolitan life, and then, like, a children's book and essays and things. And then after that, she just was like, I've been sulking for 10 years, and I just don't write anymore, and I just talk. How do you do that?
Yeah, no. Okay, I'm so excited to watch this series, because I saw, like, an advertisement for it, I think via Instagram or some social media bullshit, and I was pumped, and so I love that you are already on that grind, so thank you for reminding me.
We could talk about that as well. I mean, it's...
Seriously.
It's 7 episodes, but it's something you could get through in a day.
Yeah. Oh, and I love
if you need to do
series.
Like a big clean of your house or something, it's a good thing to put on. Like,
ooh, smart. Yes. Ooh, which you're doing because
I'm making a big move. It's top secret.
Top secret big move. Oh, sorry. Was I not supposed to say anything? Oh shit. Never mind.
Oh man. You'll hear more about this later.
Yes.
Tuck that in your hat. That's a Easter egg.
Yeah, keep that for later. Enjoy.
Keep that for later.
Sorry. Gone. Anywho.
Who's soul?
Trying to think. Oh, I watched Yorgos Lanthimos's Dogtooth.
Oh, okay.
Did not like it.
Yeah. That's fair. As a lot of his movies are, like, kind of hard to watch.
Very difficult to watch. I think the only Yorgos film that there's two that I really like, and, you know, The Lobster is one of them. Most people liked The Lobster, and then I loved The Favorite.
Have you seen Killing of the Sacred Deer?
Yes, I have.
You didn't like that one?
I mean,
that one, that's another one that's really, really hard to watch.
I was interested. I guess I shouldn't say I didn't like it. I was, like, interested and intrigued. But, yeah, I think sometimes...
I think that's interesting because, like, you're okay with gore, and I'm not, and it's pretty bloody.
And I think it had more to do with the lack of human respect, and I don't know.
That's fair.
And that's why Dogtooth was hard for me, too. It was, I think he is just such a master of what is, like, the most taboo situation I can put someone in, or the most disturbing situation, and how would real human beings react?
Mm-hmm.
Or, but then at the same time, all of his characters are these very dry, kind of like they. I always want to say paper like. Not that they're bad as characters are bad, but they're always very flat and
yeah.
And which I think is why I enjoyed The Favorite the most, because that seemed to have the most color in his characters that I've ever seen in his films. Because Lobster, very similar. Characters are very flat and not very emotional. And obviously The Favorite, so many women. Mm-hmm. I love women.
Absolutely.
Olivia Colman, we love her so much.
Yes. And then I actually haven't seen The Favorite yet.
Really? It was so good. We should also talk about, it's again one of those,
our list, it just keeps growing.
Yeah. You know, it's a talking about queerness, talking about like the politics of being a woman back in that time period, and
mm-hmm.
It's very interesting and just a very fun, flavorful, exciting movie. And I think that felt like such a palate cleanser for me after, you know, seeing all of his other stuff, seeing Killing of a Sacred Deer. I think it's not that I don't like those movies. I just don't like the feeling of dread that I'm left with.
That's fair.
Which is such a sign of brilliant filmmaking. So it's mm-hmm. not really a criticism on him or his work. It's just very specific unto himself, mm-hmm. and it's definitely one that he wants you to feel some of the worst feelings and
the absolute worst.
And I can appreciate that.
Yeah. It has its place.
I'm glad somebody's doing it, because I think
that place is just not necessarily in your heart.
It's not something I want to watch like every day. Like, let's see how much little respect we can give to other human lives. Like,
right.
But as a piece of art, I find the stories that he comes up with and the concepts that he comes up with in his dialogue and in his plot lines, I find them so interesting and compelling. So I definitely, like, really will never not watch his movies. I have to see all of them. I just also go in knowing that I'm going to leave feeling upset.
Right. Right.
But, yeah.
Ugh.
But still great. Still great. Prima. That's the really amazing thing about film, is that it is like all art. Like, there is art that we love because of how great it makes us feel when we look at it, the beauty it portrays, and then there's art that tells you something and forces you to reflect on something, and it might be uncomfortable and painful, and so that's why I appreciate most movies if they're not Hallmark movies.
right.
For the purpose they serve. Or like rom-coms, I'm usually like, nah, fuck a rom-com.
Yeah.
Unless it's queer.
Unless it's queer.
Because we need more of that.
Absolutely.
More gay joy.
It's more of like a mood thing, as far as like appreciation of rom-coms goes for me.
That's so true, yeah.
Like, mostly I'm like, I have this idea of myself that's like, I'm academic and I want to take in stimuli that is smart, and because I'm also smart, and yeah. I'm above this, and
yeah, no,
and that's how my inner dialogue speaks.
Hello, wake up, Molly. It's wake up, you dumb
bitch who, like, acts like you're a fucking philosopher, just, like, walking. You didn't go to college, but...
no, you didn't, and that just speaks volumes to how brilliant you are, just organically.
Farm fresh brilliance.
Farm fresh, cage-free brilliance. untethered.
Grass fed.
Oh, in more ways than one.
All right. Toot toot if you feel me.
Toot toot.
Toot and sweet.
Toot sweet. Yeah. I'm.
We should talk about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Chitty Chitty Bing Bong Bang Bang Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bing Bong.
That's my favorite movie. I love that movie.
No, we should definitely watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang for the pod. Listeners, I have a cold sore right now, and I have a Band-Aid covering my cold sore, and my Band-Aid is coming off my lip, and so it's impairing my speech, so I apologize.
You're doing great, kid. You're doing great.
I'm trying out here. I'm trying also to, like, not get a Breva in my mouth. It's, like, a really, it's a weird balance of things. Also, I can see myself, sort of. So, like, whenever I do, like,
action like this. Oh, my gosh, yes, you
can! Behind her, Chrissy has a frame that is, you know, it's glass. And it, I can see my own reflection. It's the creation experiencing itself. In constant succession.
Real time. But speaking of that same noise, how pissed are you about still not being able to go to movies in theaters?
So mad.
I'd gotten into the point of quarantine where I was like, actually, I hated theaters and I love that I can just buy stuff on my TV and eat whatever I want.
I will say it's like it's a toss up because there is the whole, like, you know, festival things are accessible to me, whereas, like, they wouldn't have been until a year later. Like, I can buy a ticket to what's happening at Sundance at the end of the month and just, like, watch it from my computer. But at the same time, it's like there's something to the experience of seeing it in a theater, and, like, I have a projector here, and, like, that's pretty fun, but it's still not the same, you know. And that was always a whenever I lived in Searcy, that was a grounding exercise I would do, is I would take myself on a date to the movies.
Yes, and, girl, same!
And, yeah, like, you don't even have the option to do that. I have lived in this apartment for about a year, and I was, like, so excited because I live, you know, 3 minutes down the road from a nice movie theater. Oh. And I was like, I'm going to take myself to the movies all the time. And I simply did not a single time.
No.
Yeah. So.
I think the last movie I saw in theaters was it couldn't have been Parasite. That's so long ago.
I think the last one I saw was Booksmart.
Oh my god, then that probably checks out.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. I had kind of gotten to that point where I was, like, teasing, trying to make myself feel better about the situation. But then I saw this meme of, like, who misses this feeling? And it was a picture of the walking down the stairs into when you're walking into the theater.
The way you just, like, feel transported. Like,
my heart dropped.
It's an amusement park. It's a theme park. Like,
yeah,
you know?
And ever since seeing that meme, I've been very upset because I'm like, no. And I'm currently in Virginia spending some extended time with my loved ones. There's a theater not 2 minutes from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it just sits there dormant all day. And I'm just like,
I think that the movie theaters here are open.
Wow.
But
I think it's open. I think people just aren't going.
Oh,
I think
gotcha.
They're trying.
I just wouldn't want to, you know.
I know, it's just not ready. I'm not ready.
No. I haven't been to a restaurant. I'm not gonna. I don't know. That being said, I have started taking a dance class. But that feels really safe. There's only 9 of us. It's an adult tap class. And
Molly, yeah.
I'm so excited. My my aunt, I kind of like, you know, not expecting to actually get them, put on my Christmas list tap shoes because my old ones are like, they don't fit. I ended up getting those, and yeah, it's like a class of 9 people. They have it sectioned off to where it's like a 12-foot square that you cannot exit out of, and everyone has to wear a mask, so it feels fine. But 4 of the women in my class are in their 60s, and they outdanced me. I've been to one class. It was this week.
That's incredible, though.
I'm excited. Yeah, it'll be cool for now until I make my top secret move.
Hey, there's loads of dancing where you might be going.
Exactly. And I've already like got a prospective place. So
yeah. Oh shit, you're gonna have to clue me in on that. Maybe we can.
Oh my god, that'd be so fun. We're like talking in code right now on the pod.
I don't know what she's talking about. That girl's crazy. That girl.
What? Wow. That's well wacky. But yeah. Yeah.
That's excellent.
What were we talking about? What?
Well, we were missing theaters, and then we were talking.
Oh, right. I'm also missing social. Just like live theater, and I just at this point, like I feel like I've been so good about being like stoic about it, you know, like this is fine, this is what we have to do, and I'm finally like just like teary, like.
I totally and you and I both have a theater background, and not only do I miss seeing live theater, I really miss being a part of it too, and being in that world, and that is actually one of my goals, I think, too, for the year.
That's awesome.
As long as it's safe, you know, I mean, I think hopefully 2021 is going to be a much safer year as things start rolling out than 2020 was. But I think if there's a safe way that I can ease my way back into live theater, I would love to do that because I miss working on a crew. I miss being involved. I miss acting. I miss not acting. I miss,
like, I want to take like an improv class.
Yes. Yeah.
And like, I know that's so like cringe, but I like want to do it.
It's not cringe though. I think being able to improvise is a huge asset.
It makes you a better writer, I think.
It makes you a better writer. Some of the coolest ideas come out of improv sketches and then become reworked and refined into something better. And I think, I think so much beauty can come from improv. And I know it's like, it is funny when people joke about it, but honestly, like, fuck off, because there's a lot of like importance and the reason why people are able to do shows like SNL is because improv exists.
Exactly.
So yeah. I think that's definitely something that you should be looking at, and don't let that inner critic and those small-minded people tell you that that's cringy, because I don't think it is. I think it's brilliant.
Absolutely. We're doing shit. 2021.
2021, we're bettering ourselves. And
for the better.
For the better.
Bettering for the ourselves good. For the good. For the better.
For the better, for the good. Better's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm ready. I don't even want to say it because so many people have said it, but like, I'm ready for this to be over.
Yeah.
I'm ready to start to undo the weird social trauma that is gonna come from this. Because I can't watch movies now without being like, why don't you you should be hugging her. You should do that poster. And then I have to be like, this is a movie. And it also was made in 1978. Like.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Ugh.
So.
I saw a photo that was just from a show that I was shooting like around this time last year, and it just looks illegal.
Yeah, right?
Like, you're and judging it, each other. At this point, like, it is. Oh my god, this Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Ugh. I think I just licked some Abreva.
Oh no!
Yeah, on that note.
On that note, listeners, we're so excited to keep exploring feminist filmmaking with you.
And, everything that that entails, like, you know, that was really great. That was so good.
I loved it.
And thanks for listening. If you don't love us, we will prosecute, okay. Prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law.
We will, and we will burn you in the comment section.
Yes. Oh, also, it should be added that I'm still looking for beef because my beef with South by Southwest has been ended because they emailed me and told me that I have a free pass to the online festival this year because I didn't get to go last year.
Yay! So now you need more beef.
Yeah, so my beef with South by Southwest is resolved. Beef good. Resolved. Look at that.
I love it. It really looks like a with the Band-Aid and with the Abreva coming out, it looks like it's festering.
It's like festering wound on my face.
But I know that that's the Band-Aid. But, yeah. So, Molly is low on iron. She needs beef. So, bring the beef.
I'm actually low on iron, usually.
Yeah. So, eat it. Listeners.
Yes.
And we love you so much.
And thank you. Good night.
And thank you. Goodbye.
So I don't think you have a choice. How can you be an artist and not reflect the times? That to me is the definition of an artist.
The music for today's podcast is The Definition by CJ.
You can find more of his music at cjmakesbeats.bandcamp.com.